It's wonderful that you all have come out today, that you have shown the interest necessary to be here, to make God not just a priority, because it's easy to make anything a priority, but the priority in your life today. I pray that you have shown up here today, as we talked about in our lesson last Sunday afternoon. I pray that you came here today not looking for what you get, but looking to give your praise to God, looking to give Him all the glory that He is due. There is a popular idea and notion floating around today that states it's easy to be a man. And you know, up until I found something, I thought, that's not true. But then I found this top 10 list of the top 10 reasons that, in fact, yes, it is easier to be a man than to be a woman. Let me share these with you just quickly. Top 10 reasons why it's easier to be a man than a woman. First of all, number 10, phone calls are concluded within 30 seconds. Number 9, I can do my nails with nothing more than a pocket knife. Number 8, I can leave a motel bed unmade and not feel bad about it even a little bit. Number 7, I can buy a 3-pack of underwear for under $10 and it'll be fine. Number six, this was one that I don't know that I completely agreed with this, but it is what it is. Number six, I don't feel a compulsion to mooch off of anyone else's desserts at any time in my life. I don't agree with that. I feel that compulsion a lot, so I don't know what that says necessarily about me. It's probably nothing good, and it's the reason that I've gained weight since high school, I'm fairly certain. Number 5, I can own 3 pairs of shoes and call myself happy that I only have 3. Number 4, I don't see any wrinkles in my clothing whatsoever at any time or any place. Now, again, that one, I think I get a pass on that. I'm not going to see those in any case. Number 3, one wallet, 1 pair of shoes, 1 color, enough said. Number 2, now this is one that I think applies to a lot of men in here today. I can buy gifts for 25 people. This is Christmas gifts. I can buy gifts for 25 relatives on December the 24th in 45 minutes, and it'll be all right. But the number one reason that it's easier to be a man in today's world than a woman, I can go to the bathroom by myself and be happy that it's just me in there. Again, when I heard that list, I thought, you know what, maybe it is easier to be a man after all. Now we all understand, we accept the fact that that list is meant to be a joke. The truth of the matter is, and ladies, I hope you will forgive me if I opine on the difficulties of being a man in today's world. The truth of the matter is, it is difficult. It is hard. There is a large portion of responsibility that is placed upon our shoulders today. It's difficult and somewhat scary whenever you're the husband of a wife and the father of children to know that you can't be there every second of every day protecting and guarding them in this dangerous world in which we live. However, men, there is an issue that we need to address. Over the past several years, I would say even decades, there has begun to be a movement, a thought, a notion, an idea that is circulating, not in society, but in the church. And that is that expressions of faith, service to God, and religious devotion is the duty of women and children. Frankly, men, if you will allow me to be honest with you, that could not be further from the truth. That is not the case, and that is, if you will pardon this expression, that's not even biblical. We do bear a responsibility, an obligation. We do carry with us a commandment in our hearts given to us by God in heaven above. And that is to be leaders, not just passive leaders, but strong leaders, scriptural leaders, spiritual leaders, both in our households and in the house of the Lord today. I've got to apologize to John Faniff. John Faniff has got a theory, and I'll be honest with you, it holds water. His theory is that on Mother's Day, I always preach a sermon that is delicate, that is loving, that talks about how good and sweet Mama is. And then on Father's Day, I spend all my time beating men up and down these aisles. And I'm going to be honest with you, for the most part, the man's got something there. He's on to something. Now, hopefully you will recall that this year, I actually didn't do that. I think I presented a pretty delicate and compassionate and encouraging lesson for fathers, especially for me. Now, unfortunately, and this is where the apology comes in, John was, unfortunately, he was on a trip to Alaska, a cruise to Alaska when I did that sermon. And John, the apology that I make is that you didn't get to hear that, and because this one is going to be the real Father's Day lesson. This one's going to be the one that hurts. I guess your reward is, John, you went to Alaska on a cruise. Congratulations. Now, here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to take a song. If you've got your song books, I want you to go ahead and open up to Rise Up, O Men of God. Because we're going to be examining the words to this. I understand that there are two different versions. Some know one version. I actually did know the other version that Jim learned. We're not going to sing this song today because I'm afraid that we do all know different versions. But I think that doesn't rob us of the value of the song. The one that I know is written by William P. Merrill. Now, Mr. Merrill wrote his in 1911, and it was a response to an outcry at the time. The outcry at the time was for strong Christian men to stand and lead. Now, did you catch that? The cry at the time, in what year? 1911, was for strong Christian men to stand and lead. Not lead according to the opinions and doctrine of man, but lead according to scriptural authority. Lead according to God's word. And so he sat down and he put pen to paper and he began to write the song that is before us. It began to circulate. It did seem to have an impact for at least a little while. Now, there may be some of you here today, some of you who are ladies that are saying, you know, I don't really know what I'm going to get out of this. Ladies, if you will, let me tell you what I want you to take from this. Today, we're going to be telling the men that we need them to step up and be accountable. Ladies, what I'm going to tell you is that we need you to hold us accountable. We need you to show up with expectations of a man serving as a man, as a leader. Not just any leader, not a passive leader, but a strong scriptural leader. The elders of this congregation actually came to me and they've asked me to prepare a lesson. Bill actually came up with this song and told me it'd be good, Rusty, if you could do a sermon on this. Because what we're looking to do here, we've got some goals. Our goal is to grow. Not just in number, because it's easy to stand and talk about numbers, but we want to grow in spirit. Now what that's going to take, though, is it's going to take a commitment by all involved. It's going to take a commitment, and it's going to take both men and women fulfilling the roles that God has for us. It's going to take us taking up the Word of God, implementing it into our lives, and following it down to the letter. Men serving as they have been requested. No, not requested. As they have been suggested. No, not suggested. As they have been commanded to serve. Today, if you have a Bible, I do want to encourage you to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. What we're going to do is we're going to take verses 13 and 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're going to take it apart and we're going to examine it. There's three concepts, three ideas that are applicable to us today. There are three concepts, three ideas that if we as men and if you as ladies will hold us accountable on this. If we implement these things, we're on track. Why? Because we're taking it right out of the Word of God. These were the concluding words of Paul, not just to any church. It's always important, I tell you this almost every week, it's important that we realize that this wasn't just any church. This was the church at Corinth. This was a church which had divisions among them. They were having problems from the top down. And so Paul here is concluding his letter as he's writing to these individuals, as he's telling them those final few thoughts, those last inspired words which God had given to them, given to him. He's presenting them. We want to take verses 13 and 14, and we want to look at what it means to serve God as a man in this century. Not just in this century, but in this society. Not just in this society, but in this congregation. At the end of the services, I've been informed that our elders are going to be handing out some papers to you. Those papers on one side are going to have qualifications of elders and deacons. And on the back side, it's going to have places for you to write in men whom you would like to suggest serve in those capacities. This morning's lesson is twofold. Number one, men, I want you to start thinking about this. Someone may be looking at you, observing you, and saying, that gentleman right there, that man is an example and exemplifies the qualifications of either an elder or a deacon. But ladies, I also want you to be examining this. I want you to be looking at this. I want you to be looking around for those men who should meet these qualifications, who in your mind do meet these qualifications. You're then going to turn these in and we'll be looking at those. What we're looking to do, folks, is we're not looking to give a man a title just for the sake of giving him a title. We've got a lot of ministries and a lot of obligations. There's a lot of things that are going on right here, right now at this congregation. Some of them, some of you aren't even aware of. But I'll say this, and I think this is something we're all aware of. There is an amazing spirit at this place right now. There is a strong feeling of work that is at this place right now. There is a good, positive energy that is at this place right now. What we want to do is we want to capture it, and we want to make that continue. What we want to do, though, before we get into any of that, is we do want to examine what it was that Paul had to say. We want to see what it is that he had to say. In church, we want to take it and apply it to our lives. The first thing that we've got to do if we're going to rise up, O men of God, is that we want to stand, we want to watch, and if need be, we want to fight. We want to stand, we want to watch, and yeah, if need be, we want to fight. I want you to notice what Paul had to say to the brethren at Corinth there in verse number 13. Watch ye. And then he goes on to say, stand fast. Some translations say stand firm in the faith. Let's begin with that first expression there. Watch ye. Brethren, this is a call to guard. Let me change that, because sometimes when we hear call, we think that we've got an option whether or not we're going to answer. If that cell phone over on this front pew rang right now, this one that's mine, if it rang, I've got an option as to whether or not I pick up that call, don't I? Now, for the sake of this sermon, I better not pick up that call. But I've got a choice that I can make. I can either choose to go over and answer the call or not answer the call. When the Lord says, watch ye, that is not a call. That is a commandment. That is a commandment that he is telling you to be on guard. It's not a call to guard. It is a command to guard, to stand vigilant. Doesn't the Bible tell us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 that we as leaders, we as men, we as Christians, that we need to be sober, that we need to be vigilant? Ever watching for what? The devil. Why? Before he is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now men, because in particular we're talking about rise up, O men of God. I need the men in here right now to do me a favor. I want you to look around this audience today. Look around this group that is gathered here today. Not audience, look around at this congregation that's gathered here today. Go ahead. Look around at them. Some of what you're seeing are your wives. Some of you are seeing your mothers. Some of you are seeing your children, be they sons or daughters. Some of you, you're seeing friends. Some of you, you are seeing people whom you've known for years and years and years. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, you are given a commandment to watch out for them. to be on guard for them. It's very reminiscent of what the Bible says back in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, and in particular, verse 7. There is the Lord is addressing the nation of Israel. He tells them something very interesting. He tells them that He has made them a watchman. Over what? Over what He would have to say to them and about them. Rise up, O men of God. You today are called, no, commanded to be on guard. But I also want you to notice the second half of that phrase. It's not just about watch ye, but it's also about standing firm. Standing fast in the faith. Here's the truth. It's awfully easy for us to stand on guard, isn't it? It's awfully easy to stand there and look tough, isn't it? Why, even a 6 foot tall, 200 and something, 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 something pound blind preacher can look tough if he really puts his mind to it. We can look tough, but what happens when it's time to stop guarding and stop fighting for that which we believe in? Rise up, O men of God. It's time to fight. Rise up, O men of God. Our children are leaving the church. Rise up, O men of God. Our women, our ladies, our sisters in Christ are doing more to serve God than we are. Rise up, O men of God. Where are you at today? We are called. No. We are commanded to be ready. Be ever vigilant. I love how Paul put it to Timothy. As Paul's life was leaving him, as his days were drawing to an end in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I love what he says there. He declares, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Folks, that is not in the passive tense. Paul stood firm, he stood fast, he fought the battles which needed to be fought. Now, let's make sure we clarify something here, because there's a lot of men in the church today who are ready to fight a fight. You know which fight they want to fight? They want to fight against each other. They want to battle one another. They want to look around the church and they want to, I hope everybody knows what this word means, nitpick. Everybody familiar with nitpick? They want to nitpick everything and everyone around them. We've talked about this concept before. They want to talk about them over there. They like hearing sermons on they. Because, you know why? Because it's not about them at the time. They like hearing sermons on other people. They like talking about other people. But what we're talking about here is a commandment to stand and defend. And if need be, fight that good fight. Finish that race. So the first thing that we're going to do, if we're going to rise up, O men of God, is that we're going to stand, we're going to watch, and if need be, we're going to fight. But there's a second thing. Ladies, keep up with this now. You're holding us accountable on standing, watching, if need be, fighting. Men, keep this in your minds now. We are going to stand. We are going to watch. We are going to be on guard. Why? Because it's not a call, it's a commandment. And we're going to fight if we have to. But there's a second thing we've got to do. We've got to be prepared to stand long and strong. Stand long and strong. Church, can I submit something to you? What we're suffering from many times in the church today is spiritual ADD. We are so hyper-focused on the world that a lot of things in the church only get half done. We've got the patience and the attention span of a 3-year-old. We're watching and we're saying, watching. Ooh, look at that over there. Squirrel. That's it, squirrel. That's where we're at in the world today. The squirrel, folks, if you will allow me the pun, the squirrel's got our attention. Now the church is suffering for it. All because we're not standing strong, we're not standing long. Some have taken 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and in particular that middle phrase, and they're misapplying it. They're seeing that it says, quit being men in some translations. Folks, that does not mean that. Some are saying, all right then, Paul, if you insist, go over here and sit down and watch a football game. That's not what that means. That actually means just the opposite. Folks, it's a call to actually be a man. Now, a lot of times in the world today, whenever we say a man needs to be a man, we start thinking, oh, that means he doesn't cry, he doesn't hug, he can't kiss anybody on the cheek, he can't show his wife true affection. And if he is seen carrying a thing of flowers to his wife, oh, his friends will eat him alive. You know why? Because he's not being a man. That's not what that passage is talking about, church. Actually, what this passage is in particular addressing, and if you take it together with that last phrase, be strong, it makes a lot more sense. What this is actually saying in its most basic form is, men, grow up. Grow up. It's a particular phrase that was taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. You know what Paul says there? Paul says there that when he was a child, you know what he did? He spake as a child. He acted as a child. But when he became a man, when he rose up, O men of God, you know what he did? Put away childish things. Those pointless, and Kyle, you and I talk about this, those foolish arguments. He put those away. He put away his petty jealousies and his spite. He put away all of those wrathful things and thoughts that he had. He put away that passive-aggressive nature that was getting him nowhere. And instead, he started living as a man of God. Church, that's the call that we're being given today. That's the, change that, command that we're being given today. When Mr. Merrill sat down back in 1911, and he wrote the words to rise up, O men of God, when he sat down and he put pen to paper, his idea, the notion that he came at this with was, men have to grow up. Now, I know the popular thing to do today is that it is so easy for us to make jokes about our husbands and our wives, isn't it? I'll tell you something that Laney and I have just kind of made it a policy and a principle not to do. We don't make each other the butt of the joke. I love my wife beyond comprehension, and it's because my wife doesn't gripe at me, doesn't nag at me. My wife prays for me. That's what we need today. We need people who are praying for one another. Ladies, pray for the men of this congregation. Pray for the leadership. I want to acknowledge, Kelvin, I appreciate that prayer that you prayed so much this morning. Because there are issues that face this congregation. And because of the great leadership that we've got in place here, many of them, many of those things, those issues, you never know about. Because our elders are watching out for this flock. But we need more to step up. We need more to do our part. We need more, gentlemen, if you will pardon this phrase, we need more to grow up. Pitch in, help out. Look where you can serve and get this notion, serve. I actually appreciate, Jim, the song that you led us in before this lesson. Because in that song, we find a promise that fits nicely with Rise Up, O Men of God. In the song which Jim led us in, we find the singers of that song making a promise. I will work. I will pray. In the vineyard of the Lord. Now church, let me ask you this. Many of us sang that song. Singing's been phenomenal in here this morning. It's been tremendous. It's been outstanding. I heard a lot of folks singing that song. If we say, I will work, if we say, I will pray, then are we doing that? Let me ask it like this. Are we rising up, O men of God? But there's a third and final thing that I want to point out. And this last point is going to be pretty quick, so hold on to your seats. First thing we got to do is we got to stand. We got to watch. And if need be, we're going to do what? We're going to fight. We're going to fight to keep you here. We're going to fight to protect you. We're going to fight to do all that we can to make sure that God's word stands tall and stands strong. But we're going to stand strong and we're going to stand long. We're going to put away spiritual ADD. We're going to cast it aside. The squirrel dies today. We're putting him out of the church. He's gone. Why? Because we're going to focus on growing up, putting away childish things, and we're going to focus on leading the way we should lead. But there's a final thing here that we better notice before we leave today. Because it sounds good to say, I'm going to stand, I'm going to fight. It sounds good to say, I'm going to stand long and I'm going to stand strong. But if we're not doing it in love, then stop doing it. That's your final point. Rise up, O men of God. But when you stand to serve, when you stand to watch, when you stand to fight, when you stand long and you stand strong, stand and let all that you do be done in love. I want you to notice 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 14. Let all your things be done with charity. Some translations say, let all that you do be done in love. Again, this is another one of those notions that's really gotten twisted and taken out of perspective and out of its original intent. There is a notion that is being floated out there today that a man simply can't be loving in the way that the Bible commands. Let me say it like this. You better be loving in the way the Bible commands. What you need to do is you need to stop worrying about what this world out here tells you. About what it means to be a man. About what it means to be a man's man. Because according to what I'm seeing on some of the TV, what it means to be a man's man is that you got to be violent all the time. What it means to be a man's man is that you've got to partake in the sins of the world. What it means to be a man's man, if you're living by the societal code that we are being fed on a daily basis, is that you're going to dismiss God altogether. But instead, Paul says, let all that you do be done in love. I love what Paul also had to say over in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. There is, he has given a commandment, a simple commandment. Husbands, love your wives. I'll tell you what, if you're here this morning and you've got a wife, love her. You say, why? The Bible commands it, first of all. But it goes on to give you an illustration of how you should love your wife. Love your wife as Christ also loved the what? The church. And gave himself for it. Church, that's all I need to know of love. That love should be sacrificial. That love shouldn't be something that we do simply behind closed doors. I can't just be willing to tell my wife I love her a little bit if the doors are closed, the lights are off, and the kids are out of the house. Church, we need to show love with everything that we do. I'm going to tell you this morning. This lesson that I offer you. Yeah, I've gotten loud. Mostly because that's what I do. But this sermon is offered to you in love. I love this congregation. We went away this Wednesday night, and I want to publicly thank Kyle. I have heard so many wonderful comments on Kyle's Bible lesson on Wednesday night. Matter of fact, I'm a little concerned for my job, but that's neither here nor there. But I have heard so many wonderful comments on Kyle. But we went away this week, went up to Orange Avenue, and we had an excellent time. We really did. I got to speak and address a congregation that I've never spoken to before. But I tell you what, can I say this? It wasn't home. This is home. Amen. This is family. You all, I care about you. What I offer you each and every time I get up here, it's not meant to be fussing. It's meant to be love. It's meant to be correction. It's meant to be an offering to you of how we can do better. We can do more. It's meant to be a form of encouragement that we serve God better tomorrow than we did today. That we do it better today than we did yesterday. And that we're looking to be more next year than we were last year. Let all that we do be done in love. Rise up, O men of God. When you rise up in love. When you serve, serve in love. When you stand and watch in love. When you fight, fight for love's sake. When you stand long and you stand strong. When you see the enemy bearing down and you say, oh, I got to go over there. No, don't. Stand long and stand strong because of love. Church lesson, George. Men, the lesson's yours. The choice is also yours. The time is also yours. The decision will also be yours. You say, Rusty, what are you talking about? Well, right now what is yours is to examine yourself. It's to ask a very difficult question. Have I been living the way God would have me to live? Have I been serving the way God would have me to serve? The question that really, if you get right down to the root of this issue, is this. Am I right here, right now, today, am I standing in a right relationship with my God? If your answer to that question is no, then it's time to make a change. No other way to put it. It's time to make a change. If you're here this morning and you've never been obedient, that's the first change you got to make. I love this song that Jim's about to lead us in. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Oh, folks, His voice, it is soft and it is tender. But it's also quite insistent. He stands and He knocks at that door of your heart. What are you going to do? Are you just going to really turn away from that knock? That knock is from the Lamb of God. Don't turn away. Maybe you're here and you said, you know, Rusty, I'm not in a right relationship with God. I'm not serving you the way I should. I'm not doing things I should. I need to make a change. This is a place where changes can be made. If you're here today and we can assist you, aid you, help you in any way, we invite and encourage. Won't you come as together we stand and sing the song of invitation?